हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 6, Mellows, Rasa, page 32. Srila Jiva Goswami. However, with the proper characters, actors, and spectators, rasa will manifest. Right, so it's not that it's just based on one or the other or this or that, because there's four factors that are there. You know, it's the character being played, the actor themselves, the audience themselves, and the particular how well it's being acted and all these kind of aspects like that. So it's all that together will create rasa. Because otherwise on the material platform, yes, you could say it's this one or that one or all these other things like that. Alaukiki here suggests that the rati is most blissful, since it belongs to Bhagavan, the source of bliss. This bliss derives even the bliss of liberation. It is greater than the rati for the avataras emanating from Bhagavan. Sarva, sarvad, bhutad, bhuta. This is experienced by both Krishna and his intimate devotee. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. This form is wonderful for everyone, including the Lord himself, in his form as the Lord of Vaikuntha, because it is the highest perfection of beauty, enhancing the beauty of all ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.12. Yeah, so then Krishna himself, he's the origin, so he's the cause of this bliss, whatever is there. So even his incarnations, it's still coming from Krishna, right? That aspect is still there. And if you're doing something on Krishna, that will give even more bliss than if it's on one of his expansions. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This verse shows production of rasa in correctly acted dramas. The word alaukiki, unusual, is used because this rati is far superior to the bliss of liberation, because it is the cause of bliss even for the Lord himself, who is the root of all bliss. Rati is described as more astonishing than the astonishing because it is much superior to the rati experienced in relation to the avatars, right? Let alone the material platform. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates on relationship between bhava and rasa in Jiva Dharma, Vrajanath. How can these physical transformations enhance the taste for rasa in Stai Bhava? Relishing rasa is actually an inner experience, whereas the anubhav symptoms find expression externally. How then can they be considered as samagri, bhava, ingredients of rasa? Goswami, when the jiva's internal activities on the transcendental shuddha-sattva plane stimulate and nourish bhava, a variety of vaichitra, wonderful spiritual feelings, is spontaneously manifested. This transcendental variety infuses the heart with ineffable bliss in many different ways. Bliss causes vikara, physical transformations, which are exhibited as the ecstatic symptoms known as udbhasvara. When the heart is effervescent with emotion, the devotee is seen dancing. When his heart hums with joy, the devotee sings aloud, and so on. These expressions of spiritual emotion further nourish rasa, right? So they can even see what the mood is that causes each one of them, right? But in general, we're just trying to figure out that they exist. So, you know, they don't necessarily go into so much detail. But just by doing that, then you understand that they're there. These expressions of spiritual emotion further nourish rasa. The exhibition of these ecstatic symptoms is not the main cause of ecstatic emotion, which is actually vibhava. But anubhava is the follower and experienced as the supporter of vibhava. Therefore, it's anubhava. It's coming after. Right? There's also other definitions for the anu, what it will mean. But in this case, it's showing that vibhava is the cause of this rasa starting, these ecstatic symptoms. And then they manifest externally as anubhava. Right? Because anubhava, another way of, one is we have the ecstatic symptoms that we're used to, the singing, dancing, and these things. But you have the other aspect that was explained before by, I think, Rupa Goswami and the Acharyas in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is that the anubhava is then what the devotee wants to do, having experienced the vibhava. Right? In other words, seeing Krishna and the elements, seeing Krishna as the Vishaya, and then the Udipans, you know, the various characteristics of Krishna, that therefore then inspire them. Then they want to do some particular service, right? So that may be they want to sing, they want to dance, you know, they want to cry, or they want to do something, you know, more specific for their rasa. You know, Mother Jashoda would like to hold him, or cook for him, or, you know, do something like that. And, does that make sense? Yeah. So their support, they've come because of the vibhava. The exhibition of these exhibition of these ecstatic symptoms is not the main cause of ecstatic emotion, which is actually vibhava. But anubhava is the follower and experienced as the supporter of vibhava. When anubhava is turned up in the heart by vibhava, splendid symptoms are displayed in the body. Thus, when the heart is flushed with vibhava and sthaibhava, a second function is initiated within the heart in the form of anubhava, which then acts to further nourish the vibhava, right? Because then they nourish each other as they go back and forth. Therefore, anubhava really is a positive and independent samagri bhava, right? So it's not just it's on its own; it actually has that, and it nourishes it back. So that's the whole point. The question is that all these things, why are they called samagris? Why isn't it just, you know, there's the ecstatics, you know, emotion, right? You know, it means, in other words, this is the technical question for what we were asking before. What's the difference between this rati and rasa, right? Because rati is one of the aspects of samagri, right? Ingredients. And rasa is that combined together, the taste you get, right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Also, when we say in the context of drama, we are only trying to generally depict the anubhavas and the sattvikas.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Yeah. So, unless we know the connection...
Unless you're in certain kinds of theater, then they can sit there like this, and everyone else sits around and goes, oh, oh. Yeah.
So then this point becomes most important, that how we see the connection back. It doesn't...
Oh, okay, yes, yes. Yeah. So there's a mood. So that's the point. They're depicting the mood, but you're depicting it through the form. So the form will come there. And then also we see from before is that this is then something that you want to do or some activity. So that means it has that intellectual aspect. While the sattvika bhavas, they just happen on their own because the ecstasy presses on the various, life airs. And because of that, then it creates that symptom. So the one comes on its own just from the interaction with the vibhava. And the other one is then the reaction of you want to do something and it goes back and assists in that. So, yeah. So therefore there are different ingredients, because otherwise then when we ask, well, how is the anubhava and sattvika bhava are different? And so then that's given as the... So, yeah. Okay. Vrajanath, Gurudev, I understand that sattvika bhava blossoms in the heart as a result of enormous good fortune. How shall we understand the bhavas expressed in stage performances by artists? Is that how you spell it?
I think so.
Because also you have artist, you have artiste. Right?
In French it is the same writing.
Yeah, so I think this is the French. I think this way you say artiste. You don't say artist. Because there's no, I mean, whatever it is. Yeah, so artiste. And so then let's see, being more fancy here. More cultured, yes.
But getting more flavor. English spelling.
It's an English spelling.
They're just many.
There's many plural. Different spellings.
No, it's plural, the artist.
Oh, okay. So then when you do it, and so you don't just put an S without the E.
That's E. With E.
Wow.
That's
so we would always do it French. Without the E. So
it's then. Coming from French, I guess.
It's coming from French, yes. Yeah. So that would be the proper way of doing it.
If
you're being cultured and all that.
That's what I'm saying, proper spelling.
As proper as that.
At least that's what the dictionary said.
That must be right.
The last is
and it's backed up by our correspondent here or something.
No, but they say Lokic authority and the highest authority, so both they agree.
Yes, so both agree, yes. Like that. Okay. How shall we understand the Bhavas expressed in stage performances by artists and by many other persons in order to achieve their particular worldly objective? Goswami, Sattvika Bhava, springing from sincere execution of unalloyed and unmotivated devotional service, is Vaishnava Bhavam, spiritual emotion expressed by pure Vaishnava devotees. All the other inferior Bhavas are divided into four categories in a descending scale. Ratya Bhasa, false semblance of love. Sattva Bhasa, impure emotion that is a distant and loose resemblance of pure emotion. Nisattva, postured emotion for a material purpose. And Pratipa, emotion born from a hostile attitude. Okay. Yeah, so then they're going to be dealing with those aspects. So that's why we don't appreciate it when they try to show the ecstatic symptoms. Yes. You know, specifically the Sattvika Bhavas.
Yes.
Right? Like that. The Anubhavas, yes, maybe, because then there's an activity that goes on, something you can show. But the Sattvika Bhavas, those aren't something that are produced, because they're using the intelligence, so they'll never come off right. So that's when the Sahajiyas do all that. It just doesn't come out good. So that's why you have to stick more to how it would work properly. Otherwise, then they end up with all these other aspects.
It is why Maharaj, it is important that drama must be done by a devotee.
Yes, that's why it was mentioned before.
Yes.
The actors should be devotees, the audience is devotees,
yes.
and the subject matter is about the Lord and the devotees. Then it works perfectly, because that's what it's actually for. So you can see nowadays is they don't use it for that, but at least there was the concept that it would be something great or grand, or, you know, it's like you see, like Shakespeare, it's all about, you know, a personality. You know, Lear or Richard II or Hamlet or something. It's about a person. And it's all about him and his, you know, the greatness and great acts and all that, and things like that. So then, does that make sense? And so like this, but then with time it gets down into, it's not as much showing the greatness as something to inspire or something to learn from their life or things like that. Then it will be just an expression of some feelings that somebody has. And so it's getting away from, you know, even the natural reflection is getting away from that and into something else, and it just becomes nisattva, postured emotion for a material purpose.
Yes.
And so it doesn't carry that original, you know, purpose. So it's not inspiring and uplifting. So if it will give you an experience at the moment, it's considered good. But it's supposed to be, it gives you an experience for your life.
Yes.
You know, you see something, some great performance, even on the material platform, something in your life, that you're going to, you know, it will change how you try to look at things, and you try to apply that in your life. You know, like there's, you know, so somebody says something significant, and so then in your own life you apply that into those situations. Right, that. So, because its original form is it's about Krishna and applying it in Krishna consciousness and how you apply your life in Krishna consciousness. So it's a part of devotional process of hearing, chanting, so that you remember these things and that. Because I've heard, that's one thing, but when I see, I remember more. So that's the idea. So it's just a visual form of the narration. Like you can hear the Ramayana narrated, and then you see it as a drama. It just has more remembrance. Right? So that's what it's for. And then if not on the material platform, then at least it improves your... It's supposed to uplift the audience. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, it'll just be if it'll give you an experience. Yeah, that's all. It's just about an experience. It's somehow, because people's lives, I guess, are so dull, they need to go watch somebody else doing whatever they're doing so that it generates some experience. You know, and so that's, you could say, your lowest form. So it's, you wouldn't, in the Vedic sense, you wouldn't really call it drama because it's not doing the purpose that drama is for. You know, it's just like if you come out, you know, you get into the whatever it is, the building, and there's a car sitting there, you know, says taxi on it, you open the door, get in, and you notice that there's no floor, you know, like that. And, you know, it's very low situated, there's no floor, and you wonder what's going on. And then the taxi starts, but very slowly, you know. And, you know, the taxi driver says, well, come on, let's do something, use your feet there. And then you go, what? And then you look over the seat, there's no floor on his side either, and he's using his feet on the ground. You won't call it technically a taxi or a car. Though it's got four wheels, it moves, and eventually after 3 hours, it'll get you to, you know, three blocks away. You know? So that's the whole point, is since it's for the upliftment of society, then these forms aren't really upliftment. So that's why they go into their particular niches and this and that, and they think that they're... And because it's going more away from its actual purpose, which is that of service and uplifting, it's more based on false ego, so they have a greater idea that we're the greatest artists, you know. Yeah, you know, like that. And so, therefore, and common people can't understand what we're doing and all this. Yeah? Yeah, so we have to be careful how it's used. The emotional attachment expressed for the Supreme Lord by the aspirants for salvation, such as the monastic Mayavadis, sannyasis, of the Shankara school, upon hearing topics about Krishna, is called Ratyabhas. So that was the first one, right? False semblance of love. Okay. So they show some attachment for the Supreme Lord, but they're monistic. They want to merge into the Lord, so it's not about service to the Lord. When narrations about Krishna's activities are heard by the dull and material condition, they may feel joy, astonishment, and material sentimental emotion known as sattva-abhasa. It's also the sattva-abhasa. That's the second one. Sattva-abhasa, impure emotion as a distant and loose resemblance of pure emotion. Yeah. So then they may feel all these different things also, but it's not really connected to Krishna. It's just feeling all these moods because it's so powerful. It has, you know, it has all these natural moods would be there with the devotees, but they're also. So then all these Bhagavat Saptas, that's what they're getting there. So they're getting something, that's why they go. But it's not actually spiritual.
Okay. For ladies.
So please.
Sorry?
It says for ladies. Next sentence.
Which superficially appears like the ecstatic, transcendental, pure emotion of Sattvika Bhava. Soft-hearted women, empiricists, and mimamsika philosophers may experience this emotion. Okay. Yeah, so karma, jnana, and emotion. Yeah, with that. The postured mellows, often expressed through crying and horripilation, displayed by persons with duplicitous hearts, by stage actors, and by those using such display to achieve their mundane goals, are known as nisattva. Okay. Would gold diggers go into this category? Okay. Generally, such hypocritical persons are hard-hearted materialists, but by constantly exercising their tear glands, they produce artificial tears, and soon such false crying becomes second nature.
They do.
Yeah, yeah. No, they can do. And if they can't, you know, then they use chilies. But they can. But if I remember the discussion about one actor, that they could cry on demand. Like that. And the other actors who were there, they couldn't. You know, they didn't play that kind of stuff, but they could. And so they were amazing. You can cry like that? He says, sure, it's like that. And then they started, you know, talking like that. And then it went into this whole thing where it turned into this whole crying. And they're wondering, how did this happen? You know, so, yeah. So that's the third one.
The second category is like religious people, and the third category will be the like mundane professionals?
Yes, mundane professionals. Yeah, the first one, you see, yes, it's generally more religious or something that they have some ideas, mimamsakas, because they're going to be religionists and something about higher empiricists, there's some higher order and stuff like that. And women, then there's always going to be that religious aspect and all that kind of thing. So, like you said, it'll be more of religious. So the one is the impersonalist, then the religionist, then the, you know, just mundane douchebags and like that. And then you have, when one performs activities that go against Krishna and his edicts, fear and anger arise. These emotions are known as pratipa bhava abhasa. Kamsa's fearful demeanor is a fine example of pratipa. It's a fine example.
All the Hollywood movies are based on the destruction going against.
Yeah, yeah, like that. Well, always, everybody likes to play this part, right? You know, so at least when those from the third category play the fourth one, then they're doing a good job at that. But so it means you have the person who always plays bad guys, but sometimes the best performance of bad guys is the guy who's always a good guy, and then he plays a bad guy?
Yes.
Like that? Because he knows how to play a good guy, so he knows how to go against all that and play a bad guy. Yeah. Okay. Verses 39 to 45. 8 mellows from 4 original ones. Now we shall describe the origin, colors, presiding deities, and examples of these rasas. Right? So we just think that there's rasas, but they have colors. They have deities like that. Sources of these 8 rasas are the 4 original rasas. What's e.g.? For example, right?
Yeah.
For example, conjugal, furious, heroic, and odious.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, because he's working with these. He's not including the others. Because the others, then the parental friendship and servitorship are just in support, basically, of the conjugal.
Yeah.
Like that.
Generally, when they describe conjugal, it may have the external features of conjugal, but they don't go beyond the shantaras.
Mm. It's just showing the appreciation and all that. Yeah, so the others then create the environment and everything. But, I mean, if you technically look at it, then that's what there's Radha and Krishna. Then all the other devotees expand as support for Radha and Krishna's pastime. So, you know, I say Satkaryavad, then it works. You know, if you're wondering why they don't mention the other 4, it's simply because that's what it's for. Because they're going to have the conjugal and the heroic, you know. You know, and the whole point is how do you have the furious means that you're engaging yourself, you're acting. You know, I mean, you're endeavoring, energetic, right? And so then the heroic will be against the odious. And what's the odious doing? He's getting in the way of the conjugal. Right? No? He's stolen the girl and trapped her in a tower, and now the hero has to come, you know, using his heroic moon, show some furious activity that he defeats the odious.
Right?
Like that. And then you just put that together in a million different ways, and you have all the, what do you call it? All the themes for drama. The comic arises from conjugal. Okay, so that's how Madhu Mangal is. So, but yeah, that they're always great making jokes and everything like that. The pathetic from the furious. So if you can do something nicely, then it's fewer. But if you can't, then you're pathetic. Right. In other words, yeah. So the loser is someone who is not able to do the furious. The marvelous from the heroic. Okay, because you do something that great. And the fearful from the odious. Very interesting. A mimicry of the conjugal rasa is called the comic. And the result of the furious rasa is the pathetic. The result of heroic mellow is the marvelous. And that which is odious to see results in the fearful. Yes.
That's why Prabhupada, the next three, he mentioned in one chapter, the furious and then pathetic in one chapter, then the heroic and marvelous in one chapter.
That's right.
Bhakti-rasamrita-sindhu.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they go together.
Yeah, they should put that as a... Include that.
Yeah, they are here, thank you.
Hmm? Yes. It means whatever you think up while we're going through, type it in. Okay, the conjugal light is green, shama. So that's the interesting. Shama, then we'll just take it as the blue, but it also means the green. The blue means it's Krishna. But when Krishna's with Radharani, you get green. What happens when you mix blue and yellow? Green. So the conjugal means green. Okay. But that's also, yeah. The comic, white. Okay. The pathetic, gray, kapota. The furious, red. The heroic, golden yellow, gora. The fearful, black. The odious, blue. And the marvelous, yellow. Yeah, because golden yellow, you get yellow. And from blue, then you get, it gets more than you get black.
Wouldn't be red.
No, it's golden yellow. Because then from golden yellow, you get the marvelous. You get yellow. Okay. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Oh, we didn't do the deities. Vishnu is the god of the conjugal. Of course. Pramatas of the comic. Who's Pramatas?
They are, I think, minor demigods who are like the ghosts kind of thing. I think they stay in along with Lord Shiva.
Oh, they're part of the Ganas. Oh, okay. Rudra of the furious, Yama of the pathetic, Mahakala, Shiva of the odious, Kala of the fearful, Indra of the heroic, and Brahma of the marvelous mellows. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Transcendental pleasure derived from devotional service can be divided into two groups, direct devotional service and indirect devotional service. Direct devotional service is divided into five transcendental humors or flavors, and indirect devotional service is divided into seven transcendental humors. Direct devotional service are as follows: neutrality, servitude, fraternity, paternity, and conjugal love. Indirect devotional service is divided into laughter, compassion, anger, chivalry, dread, astonishment, and ghastliness. Devotional service can therefore be divided into 12 types, each of which has a different color. The colors are white, multicolored, orange, red, light green, gray, yellow, off-whitish, smoky, pink, black, and cloudy. The 12 different kinds of transcendental humors are controlled by different incarnations of God, such as Kapila, Madhava, Upendra, Nishinga, Nanda, Nandana, Balaram, Kurma, Kalki, Raghava, Bhargava, Varaha, and Matsya. So they all originally go back to there, and then when they come down to the material world, then you have the deities here. You know, just like you have Mars, you know, the controlling deity, the planet, but his controller, you know, where his potency is from the Shingadev. So Vishnu is the origin of everything. So when it mentions that, it all goes back to there. So the Shastras will show then how things go back. And so then here it's mentioned. And then that's maybe all the farther it mentions. So that's the difference between Aparavidya and Paravidya. Paravidya is always going to show the direct aspects, while Aparavidya is going to show how the indirect connects to the Lord, and its detail, because the volume of detail you may forget its connection with the Lord. Right? You know, it's just like getting to the detail of drama; one may forget that it's about elevating the consciousness of the audience, like that. And one gets into the detail. Like that. NOD chapter 34. Verses 46 to 83, description of the eight rasas. Sringara rasa. Oh, I see, 46 to 83, okay. The conjugal Sringara rasa proceeds from the staibhava of love, rati, and it has as its basis a bright attire. For whatever in this world is white, pure, bright, and beautiful is appreciated in terms of the sthayi bhava of love. Mm-hmm. For example, one who is elegantly dressed is called a lovely person, shringarin. Mm-hmm. Just as persons are named after the profession of their mother or father, mother or family in accordance with the traditional authority, so the rasas, the bhavas, and other objects connected with drama are given names in pursuance of the practice and the traditional authority. Hence, the conjugal mellow has been so named on account of its usually being associated with a bright and elegant attire. It owes its origin to men and women and relates to the fullness of youth, alambana. Yeah, so it has that youthfulness. That'll be the energy that is there, right? There's been two bases, union and separation. Of these two, the conjugal mellow in union arises from activities, udipanas, like the pleasures of the season, the enjoyment of garlands, unguents, ornaments, the company of beloved persons, objects connected to amorous activities, splendid mansions, going to a garden, seeing the beloved one, hearing their words, playing and dallying. It should be represented on the stage by expressions, anubhavas, such as clever movement of eyes, eyebrows, glances, soft and delicate movement of limbs, and sweet words and similar other things. Vyavichari bhavas in it do not include fear, indolence, cruelty, and disgust. The conjugal mellow in separation should be represented on the stage by expressions such as indifference, fear, jealousy, fatigue, anxiety, yearning, drowsiness, sleep, dreaming, awakening, illness, insanity, epilepsy, inactivity, fainting, death, and other conditions. A question may be asked. If the conjugal mellow has its origin in love, why does it sometimes manifest itself through pathetic conditions? In reply to this, it is said, it has been mentioned before that the conjugal mellow has its basis in union as well as in separation. Authorities on Vaishika Shastra have mentioned 10 conditions of the person separated from their beloved ones, which are pathetic. This relates to a condition of despair owing to the affliction under a curse, separation from dear ones, loss of wealth, death, or captivity, while the conjugal mellow based on separation relates to a condition of retaining optimism. Okay. While the conjugal mellow based on separation, okay, so the separation can come from a curse, separation from dear ones, loss of wealth, death, or captivity. While the conjugal mellow based on separation relates to a condition of retaining optimism arising out of yearning and anxiety. Hence, the pathetic mellow and the conjugal mellow in separation differ from each other. And this is the reason why the conjugal mellow includes conditions available in all other mellows. And the mellow called conjugal is generally happy, connected with desired objects, enjoyment of seasons, garlands, and similar other things, and it relates to the union of man and women. The conjugal mellow arises in connection with favorable seasons, garlands, ornaments, enjoyment of the company of beloved ones, music, and poetry. and going to the garden and roaming there. It should be represented on the stage by means of composure of the eyes and the face, sweet and smiling words, satisfaction and delight, and graceful movements of the limbs. Right. So that's the limit of conjugal rasa depicted on the stage.
Yes.
Right? So if it goes beyond this, then it's not within this context.
Yes.
Right, got it. Because if you're producing emotions and feelings and those kind of things, that's all the farther you have to go.
Yes.
Right. Does that make sense? Hasya rasa. Now the comic, hasya, has its base as its basis the stai bhava of laughter. This is created by determinants, udipanas, such as showing unseemingly dress or ornament, impudence, greediness, quarrel, defective limbs, use of irrelevant words, mentioning of different faults, and similar other things. The conjugal mellow is to be represented on the stage by expressions, sattvika and anubhavas, like the throbbing of the lips, the nose and the cheek, opening the eyes wide or contracting them, perspiration, color of the face, and taking hold of the sides. Vyavichari bhavas in it are indolence, dissimulation, drowsiness, sleep, dreaming, insomnia, envy, and the like. This mellow is of two kinds, self-centered and centered in others. When a person himself laughs, it is related to the self-centered. But when he makes others laugh, it is centered in others. It has six varieties, and they are slight, smile, smita, then smile, hasita, or slight smile, hasita, gentle laughter, vihasita, laughter or of ridicule, upahasita, vulgar laughter, apahasita, and excessive laughter, atihasita. Well, so you can see how it naturally goes. Because then in the other, it was talking about what are the symptoms and what it was there, because it's all in transcendental. But when you bring it down to the material, then you can get into these other aspects. But at the same time, they may have their background in that. But it's used as just an element for rasa. But you can see is here, when you're ridiculing others, then you know, like the punks like to sit around and do that. And so then they're getting this kind of laughter. So that means the 1, 2, 3, the fourth level. Mm-hmm. So it's already quite intense. So that's why they like to do it, because they wouldn't actually know what the others mean, right? You know, or vulgar laughter. You know, when they're a little older and they sit around, then they get into that one, right? To persons of the superior type. To persons of the superior type belong the slight smile and the smile. To those of the middling type, the gentle laughter and laughter of ridicule. And to those of the inferior type, the vulgar laughter and the excessive laughter. Right. So that's also then the nature of the people you're dealing with. So the more high class, they'll only use the finer ones. The general will use the middle, and then lower class will use the, or uncultured will use the lower two. You know, that's why you always have, you know, as a standard thing is the demon, you know, or the bad guy has to have that maniacal laugh. You know, it's excessive laugh. There's no need for that, but they're laughing anyway. Like that. Does that make sense? In persons of the middling type, the gentle laughter, vihasita, should have slight sound and sweetness, and should be suitable to the occasion. But it should not match. Yes. Oh, here. Okay. Because I saw the same names. Okay. The slight smile, smita, of the people of the superior type should be characterized by slightly blown cheeks and elegant glances. And in it, teeth are not made visible. Their smile, hasita, should be distinguished by blooming eyes and face and cheeks, and in it, teeth should be slightly visible. So you have the elegant glances, and then you have the blooming eyes. So this means it's a little bit more intense.
When Arjuna tells, "I want to become your disciple," then Krishna gives this slight smile.
A slight smile.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it means it's good, it's nice. The persons of the middling type, the gentle laughter, vihasita, should have slight sound and sweetness, and it should be suitable to the occasion. And in it, eyes and cheeks should be contracted and the face joyful. During the laughter of ridicule, upahasita, the nose should be expanded, eyes should be squinting, and the shoulders and head should be bent. In a person of the inferior type, the laughter on occasion is not suitable to it. Right? In other words, it's the wrong, you wouldn't laugh. But they're the laughing anyway. The laughter with tears in one's eyes or with the shoulder and head violently shaking is called the vulgar laugh, upahasita. The excessive laughter, atihasita, is that in which the eyes are expanded and tearful sound is loud and excessive, and the sides are covered by hands. The pathetic mellow, karuna. Now the pathetic karuna, mellow, arises from the sthayi bhava of sorrow. It grows from determinants, udipanas, such as affliction under a curse, separation from dear ones, loss of wealth, death, captivity, accidents, or any other misfortune. This is to be represented on the stage by means of consequence, sattvika and anubhavas, such as shedding tears, lamentation, dryness of the mouth, change of color, drooping limbs, being out of breath, loss of memory, weeping loudly, fainting, lamenting, and bewailing, exerting the body or striking it. Vyavichari bhavas connected with it are indifference, languor, anxiety, yearning, excitement, delusion, fainting, sadness, dejection, illness, inactivity, insanity, epilepsy, fear, indolence, death, paralysis, tremor, change of color, weeping, color, loss of voice, and the like. The furious mellow, Raudra. It owes its origin to the Rakshasas, Danavas, and Hati men, and is caused by fights. This is created by determinants, udipans, such as anger, abuse, insult, untrue allegation, exercising, threatening, revengefulness, jealousy, and the like. I guess exercising means tossing them out. At the same time, is that if somebody's got, you know, a ghost or that, and you're exercising them, then they're not happy and they make trouble. Yeah, so
black magicians categorize them always rakshasas.
Yeah, yeah. Its actions are beating, breaking, crushing, fighting, drawing of blood, and similar other deeds. This is to be represented on the stage by means of consequence, sattvika and anubhavas, such as red eyes, knitting of eyebrows, defiance, biting of the lips, movement of the cheeks, pressing one hand with the other, and the like. Right, so they never actually necessarily get to the fight. They just, these moods are there, you know. So that's the whole thing. You're representing them. You don't have to show them. This idea of realism, then that's kind of like, you know, you don't know what these things are, you know. So Vyavichari bhavas are presence of mind, determination, energy, indignation, restlessness, fury, perspiration, trembling, horripilation, choking voice, and the like. Heroic rasa, vira. Heroic vira rasa relates to the superior type of persons and has energy as its basis. Right, because the lower one would be the the furious would be the, you know, the one. Yes. This is created by determinants, udipanas, such as presence of mind, perseverance, diplomacy, discipline, military strength, aggressiveness, reputation of might, influence, pride, energy, and censuring words. It is to be represented on the stage by consequence, sattvika and anubhavas, such as firmness, patience, heroism, charity, diplomacy, and the like. Vyabhachari bhavas in it are contentment, judgment, pride, agitation, energy, vega, determination of purpose, indignation, remembrance, horripilation, and the like. Right? So here, Rick, you see that firmness, like in Yudhishthir, the gambling match, or you see patience in Arjuna, like that. And then in Bhima, you see the heroism. You know, he stands up and says, you know, I'm going to break that thigh. You know, he just, yeah. So you see all these different things.
It means that at that level, there is a very strong internal strength.
Yes, yes. That's what makes it heroic, rather than just fearful or odious. Or the heroic means there has to be character.
Yes, yes.
So you can't have a hero who doesn't have a character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have the anti-hero, but that's the odious.
Yes.
You know.
Presence of mind.
Yeah, presence of mind. All these things. So that's why you look for good character. So that's why it's very strange in the contemporary things, is that they first come out with a hero and he's got all the good qualities, but then as time goes, people get bored of good qualities, then they start to show him with bad qualities. But then he's not really a hero in that kind of scene. You know, but they're just trying to somehow or another get emotion from you so that you'll, you know, pay the money and watch and they'll make their money. So that's the thing, but then you lose something there.
I remember many years ago in France, it was a Mahabharata by Peter Brooks. And the devotees were there for doing kirtan. And one time I saw Arjuna taking a break, smoking a cigarette.
Yes. But he did it with, you know, grace and class. Yes. Yes.
Interesting, in Indian movies, from one decade to another decade, like how the movies progress. First, hero means he should be a devotee of the Lord. Mm. Everything, all the plays are connected to like some devotional place.
Mm-hmm.
Then, he's not devotee, but socially, like very well, he's a like very charitable person, works for everybody's benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Then the social aspect went off, and then family man. Like, in his own family, he's a good person. Then
does something for the family or something.
And then the next generation is like some good, some bad, like a cowboy thing. Like he does all kind of bad activities, but it's for the benefit of somebody else.
Okay.
And then only bad. Like,
yeah. Now they're just
ruffians.
Just gang guys. And then where does it go next? So then when all the actors are 3 feet tall and like that, and then somebody rides in on a horse and gives them trouble, then you know we've reached the end of the line.
I know what's next. Is a mean lady, the main actor.
You mean it's like the what do you call it? The landlord. Oh, okay.
Wow. Because in that character, everything is extreme. Like extreme joy, it mixes with extreme anger, and like that. Frustration, love, and it's very extreme because it's a lady.
Okay. Okay, so then now they're all in that thing of how they have all the good qualities, but then following this pattern, it'll go down the other. And then it'll be back the way it is. Yeah. The fearful rasa, bhayanaka. Fearful bhayanaka rasa has its basis, sthayi bhava of fear. It is created by determinants, udipanas, like heinous noise, or hideous noise. Sight of ghosts, panic and anxiety due to untimely cry of jackals and owls. Staying in an empty house or forest, sight of death. Or captivity of dear ones, or news of it, or discussion about it. Terror characterized by looseness of the limbs, the mouth, and the eyes. Paralysis of the thighs, looking around with uneasiness. Dryness of the drooping mouth. Palpitation of the heart and horripilation. This is the characteristic of natural fear. The artificially shown fear also should be represented by these conditions. But in the case of feigned fear, all efforts for its representation should be milder. It is to be represented on the stage by consequence, sattvika and anubhava, such as tremor of hands and feet, paralysis, shaking of the body, palpitation of the heart, dryness of the lips, the mouth and the throat, change of color and loss of voice. Right, in other words, it shouldn't be so extreme. Right? Its vyavichari bhavas are paralysis, perspiration, choking voice, horripilation, trembling, loss of voice, change of color, fear, stupefaction, dejection, agitation, restlessness, inactivity, fear, epilepsy, and death, and the like. Does that mean the Three Stooges were fearful? The odious mellow, bibatsa. Odious bibapsa, bibatsa. Mellow has his as his basis the stai bhava of disgust. It is created by determinants, udipanas, like hearing of unpleasant, offensive, impure, and harmful things, or seeing them or touching them. It is to be represented on the stage by consequence, sattvika and anubhava, such as stopping movement of all the limbs, narrowing down of the mouth and the eyes, vomiting, spitting, shaking the limbs in disgust, covering the nose, bending down the head, and walking imperceptibly. Vyavichari bhavas in it are epileptic fit, delusion, agitation, fainting, sickness, death, and the like. The marvelous mellow, adbhuta. The marvelous adbhuta mellow has as its basis the stai bhava astonishment, and it arises from words, character, deed, and personal beauty. It is created by determinants, udipanas, such as sight of heavenly beings, or events attained by desired objects, or events. Okay, such as sight of heavenly beings or events, attainment of desired objects, entry into a superior mansion, temple, audience hall, shubha, and seven-storied palace. Seeing illusory and magical acts. It should be represented on the stage by consequence, sattvika and anubhavas, such as wide opening of eyes, looking with fixed gaze, horripilation, tears of joy, perspiration, joy, uttering words of praise, making gifts, crying incessantly. That's all part of the same thing? Ha,
yeah.
Ha, ha?
Yes.
Waving the end of dhoti or sari, movement of fingers, choking voice, perspiration, and the like. The vyavicharyas in it are weeping, paralysis, perspiration, choking voice, horripilation, agitation, hurry, inactivity, death, and the like. The conjugal mellow is of three kinds, namely, of words, dress, and action. And the comic and the fearful mellows are likewise of three kinds, namely, limbs, dress, and words. The pathetic mellow is of three kinds, namely, that arising from obstruction of lawful deeds, from loss of wealth, and from bereavement. The heroic mellow is likewise of three kinds, namely, that arising from making gifts, from fulfilling one's duty, dharma, and from fighting one's enemy. The fearful mellow is also of three kinds, namely, feigned fear, fear from a wrong action, and fear from an apprehension of danger. The odious mellow is of three kinds, namely, nauseating, simple, and exciting. Of these, the mellow from sight of stool and worms is nauseating, and the sight of blood and similar objects is exciting. The marvelous mellow is of two kinds, namely celestial and joyous. Of these, the celestial is due to seeing heavenly sights, and the joy is due to joyful happenings. Vritti. Having explained the components of rasa and detail on the different types of rasa, the author next discusses the nature of bhava and its various forms. Chapter 7. Ecstatic emotional states, bhavas, adhyaya prakashika. Having elaborated on the eight types of rasa in the previous chapter, the current chapter discusses the various types of emotional states involved in the process of relishing the rasas. This chapter elaborates on the vibhavas, anubhavas, the eight types of stai bhavas. the 33 types of Vyabhichari Bhavas and 8 types of Satvika Bhavas and their proper application for the success of a dramatic performance, right? Because you can't just do whatever you like. It has to be certain things well properly represented. Because it's going to be, one is that you have a standard thing that these particular standard forms people understand. And because it's about them appreciating, it's not about you expressing yourself. So you want to express yourself, you do it in a way that others will appreciate. And in the drama, you're only supposed to go so far. It's not to be too extreme. It's just to give that indication, that flavor. So then each one is, that's why it's described, what it's...
It seems that actually the expression, I think there is no real fighting. It's mainly just before the fighting, before the...
Yeah, it appears that's all that's necessary, because otherwise how do you show it?
Yes.
You know, unless there's some very stylized form. Because otherwise, how realistic can you can be? You know, so that's why you see the come up, and it'll be very simple. Because that's all that's necessary. The rest you fill in. Like even the Chinese, they would come up, that you have the general, and then he would be there and say some things, and he'd turn around, and on his back, he would have, you'd know how many people he had, what was his army. So if you had 1,000, if you had 10,000 or 100,000, then there was the symbols or signs were there. And so then you knew how big he was, because otherwise he's making all these things and he turns around and he's only got 2 people. Then it may be laughter or something like that, But if he turns around, there's 100,000, don't mess with Chow Chow here, Yes.
It's mentioned in a drama, a main character can have only 4 to 5 people behind him on the stage.
Okay.
Rest all things should be told through the narration.
Yeah, so you don't have to, in other words, you won't have these Hollywood productions with, unlimited, or these Chinese unlimited things. Because on the stage, you don't need more than that. That where do they get? How do they move? How do they get off the stage? They'll be stumbling over each other. Because you're in an open field, and so they can move back. But here, the stage, you have a door. So you only want to have a few people. It's stylized. The whole point is it's stylized so you get the flavor of it. And that's all that's necessary. And you see, the interesting thing is you could say, no, we want more realism. But you see in art forms and that, when they're doing our logos, things becoming more and more stylized. It's simpler just to remind you of it. So that's the natural direction, not this way. It has to be more and more realistic. Mm. Yes.
And also, as an instructor, you don't bring anything which is excess, like bringing a horse or a elephant on the stage is prohibited.
Oh.
Because the audience, instead of relishing, they are in a different mood. They have to be careful, something falls or
elephant
didn't like somebody in the audience.
Or while they're eating the snacks. So you see when the Khmers do their drama. Like I said, when that one in Bangkok, they actually bring elephants. But it's in the middle. It's especially arranged so people are sitting in one place and sitting in another, so you can't get to them. But still, for them it'll be something special and all that. But for some others, that might not appreciate that an elephant is that close. That would be interesting. You sat in the front row when they're going by and you had a banana. What would the elephant do? Because you see also the size of the stage. So they have a limited amount. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.